Hi everyone, it's Aaron here from Zero to Fit Pro, where we help people become fully qualified personal trainers, help them get started in the industry and start doing a job and a career that they love to do, giving them freedom of time and energy and help them earn an income without having to graft 9 till 5. So this is our very first podcast, and I expect that it'll probably change across the number of months that we do this for. And I was a bit lost about where to go and where to start with this. So I actually thought, well, let's just start with what I've done, my journey, how I actually became a personal trainer, the reasons why behind that, and what it's led to today, to this present day and time, and what's actually happened across the time. So I don't want to bore you with a full story, but that is exactly what I'm going to do. And it's got some ups and downs. It's got some pros and cons. But it's an honest approach to actually what has actually happened to me, and you may be able to pull some lessons out of it. But it won't pull the wool over your eyes. I'll actually explain to you, you know, the costs involved, the risks involved, and also the pros and that have come of it as well as the cons. Because like any journey we go on, it's got to have that roller coaster, right? And hopefully, as these podcasts move on, and these videos move on as well, we can start getting some more guests on, some other personal trainers on, to get an overall response. You know, we help trainers start from zero. Yeah. We help people grow from rock bottom and get up to a level they deem as comfortable and they deem as successful. So we want to show you everyone's journey around that, no matter if they're earning 5 figures, 6 figures or up over, even if they're earning £2,000 a month as a trainer. I want you to get the overall journey of someone and just hear everyone's story, as well as learn something along the way. If these aren't informative, then what's the point? So it's very important that you listen and learn as well. So where to start with me, basically? So my name's Aaron. I was born in Germany, grew up moving around army bases, things like that as well. And then I settled in North Yorkshire. Wasn't very good in school, didn't really listen very much. Just didn't think it was worthwhile. It was pointless to me. I didn't like being forced to do something, and that's what school was like. So when I went to school and GCSEs, they weren't really, you know, top of my agenda, apart from sport and PE and things like that, which I enjoyed doing. I did karate as well, and I competed as much as I possibly could doing karate. And that's what I enjoyed doing. So I actually failed a large majority of my GCSEs. So when I went to college, I had to redo a year. So do a GNVQ year, redo English, maths and science. And I realized, oh crap, maybe I should best kick on with this and get it and actually do some qualifications. So I actually qualified in all those things, leisure and tourism in the GNVQ section, and then English, maths, science. And then I did all my A levels, did all them. I managed to go off to university, managed to scrape by the skin of my teeth and join Northumbria Uni and do an applied sports science and coaching qualification or degree. And within the first year, like any degree, you know, I'm just there partying, having the time of my life, getting drunk, meeting my friends, doing all the things that, you know, we all do at university. And really, university itself wasn't at the priority of my mind. I remember waking up some mornings and my roommates going, have you done that assignment? It needs to be in by 1 o'clock. Oh, crap. And then I just spend that whole morning just typing up, normally hungover, typing up that assignment. And luckily, I scraped through that first year with, you know, fine. I got maximum marks and I was absolutely fine. The thing is, like sport and all that sort of stuff, I was quite good at. I didn't really need to drive back or revise or research a lot of things. But as the university years go on, you've got to be a bit more in the library. You've got to be listening, learning, and doing all those things. And unfortunately, that isn't me a lot of the time. And also, I worked in a bar as well to make some money. And any of you know me personally, it's quite a funny story behind that, but we'll leave that for another day. And then I was taken by surprise with my daughter being born. So I have a young daughter. She is nearly 12 now. And so I was thrown in the deep end of, well, I can't stay at university. I've got to pay bills. I can't work in a bar because it doesn't pay enough. What do I do? Choice was, I'll just leave university and get a job. So I applied for loads of different jobs, some of them with company cars and all sorts. And one of them was a debt collecting job for a finance company. So it wasn't a very pretty job. And around Newcastle, collecting debt isn't exactly the safest job either. But because I'm quite good at talking to people and actually helping people, it made it quite easy. I could get across a door. You know, we've got no rights as proper debt collectors. You know, we're not court summoned debt collectors. We just work for a private company. So you've got to try and get through the door, get your stuff or your money and get out. And you're normally by yourself. So I did that for 2 years to try and support my family at the time, paying for a rented house in Newcastle, which was like £550 a month, plus a car for my girlfriend at the time, plus feed a small child. And work 6-7 days a week. And when I look back at my pay slips, Jesus, you know, you're talking like 900 quid to 1200 quid a month. And I was working every hour, God sends, just to get the job done. And it was stressful as hell. The death threats were rife. I've had knives at me, guns threatened on me. It was terrible. It was absolutely shocking. But you just got to do what you got to do when you're paying your bills and getting through. You've got to do the job. And I was still trying to train, do karate, keep fit. But when you're sat in a car all day and generally you just pop to McDonald's and get a coffee and breakfast and things like that, it's quite easy to put a few pounds on. But I was still trying to train and still trying to, you know, release some stress through my fighting and what I did. And one day I was driving down to Washington, which is just outside of Sunderland near me. I had to go to a training session, and a lorry T-barred me. So he hit the back wheel of the passenger side of the car, dipped the car down, spun me round. I remember looking out the passenger window at an Arctic lorry just pushing me down the road. I'm just looking at the front of this lorry. The wheel is spinning like this. I've got my hands off the wheel. I look up the road. I'm just getting pushed to the road. It's almost as if time is just dragging on. This seems like 20-30 minutes of just like, oh my god, what's happening? Then the lorry broke, spun me off. So I'm looking out of the front windscreen down another line of traffic with a car coming onto me, and I look out the driver's side and I see a curb and I see a tree, and bear in mind we're going about 70 miles an hour here, and I think my car wheel is going to hit that curb, it's going to flip and it's going to smash into that tree. I'm going to die. And if you've ever been in that situation, I've always thought beforehand you're going to scream, you're going to cry, things like that. But actually in real life you just seem to just go shrug and just accept it. So I shrugged, put my head down between my hands, held tight. Luckily the car didn't flip, didn't it? It smashed into the tree though. I remember looking down at my hands and feet and going, thank God for that. And I survived. I had a few injuries. You know, I had some numbness to the left side of my body, which still affects me slightly today. Nothing too serious. Smashed my head off the door and things like that. It was a few injuries. But luckily, got out alive and didn't hurt anyone else in the process. The lorry did pull over. It was an Italian driver. And where he was, he couldn't see my little Corsa at the time. But ripped my car off, stopped me from working. So I had to have a period of a couple of weeks off work, so I couldn't really do much with my left side of my body. So actually what that did was, it was that turning point right there that gave me the opportunity to leave the job I was in. Because if I wanted to qualify as a personal trainer, that cost nigh on £4,000 at the time to qualify as a personal trainer. And you'd do it in 6 weeks. But I couldn't get together £4,000 at that point. I couldn't do it. Plus, I couldn't do the lessons. You had to sit in a classroom for 8 hours a day with 30 other people. And I couldn't do that because I had to work at the same time and I had to look after a child. So it was impossible. But this opportunity, getting hit by a car, gave me some funds to be able to quit my job. So I actually just quit entirely, move into the qualification, and fingers crossed, hope that I got a job on the other side of that. Now, one of my friends who I knew through the karate world used to be a general manager for David Lloyd Health Clubs. And he said, look, if you get qualified, I'll put your name forward. I can't guarantee you a job, but I'll put your name forward and get you put through to a recruitment day. Anyway, so I thought, right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to qualify as a personal trainer. I'm then going to get a job at David Lloyd, you know, the best gym around here. And then I'm going to just do that. Brilliant. It's going to be perfect. Didn't even have any concept of what my earnings could be or things like that. Just thought, in life balance, I'm doing a horrible job right now for no money whatsoever. I might as well do a job I love for the same money. It's going to be a better scenario. So that's what I thought to do. My partner at the time wasn't very supportive of that, and she didn't want me to do anything like that. Just stick with what you're doing. There's no point stressing yourself out to do stuff like that. But I knew in the back of my head I just had to take this plunge now, just had to do it. And I can thankfully say that was the best decision of my life right there, that first decision of my life to go, I need to take control of this and actually steer the direction of what my ship is traveling down. That is that point. Getting hit by that car, by that lorry, and making that decision right there and then to reinvest the money that we got from a claim that we made into myself to better my career path was definitely the right decision right there and then. And I qualified easy. I think I got 100% across all the qualification. It isn't actually that hard. And, you know, if in terms of thinking back to qualifying and GCSEs and A-level and stuff like that, I was actually in a position where I had to get a qualification. I had to do this. It wasn't a case of, oh, well, you know, do this if you want to. This is going to be your life changing right now. You've got to do it. So I went to the lessons, researched everything, read all the documents, passed the exam, which isn't really that hard anyway. And then during the before period, before I actually quit my job, I actually went to a recruitment day at David Lloyd where there was three of us, two of the lads, qualified personal trainers. One of them was a physiotherapist as well. And me, I turned up in my work uniform for my previous job. They're turning up in gym kit. And I sit down with the manager, Ian and Jade, two guys at the time who were the managers there. And I'm chatting to them, you know, I remember doing my actual practical assessment and not having a clue about what I was doing because I wasn't qualified. I hadn't done any weights. I hadn't done any gym work at any point, really. I'd just done a lot of bodyweight training and actual fighting for my fitness. And these two lads were just literally throwing exercises left, right, and center, correcting technique all over the shop. Literally, you know, I was looking going, oh my God. You two, like, obviously know what you're talking about. Remember them giving out a testimonial of a client, a case study, sorry. And Jade at the time just went, right, I want you to design a training program for that person, how you would deal with that person. So I've got this case study sat in front of me. The other two are sat in front of me as well. And they both just get their pens and he goes, go. And they write down the underlying things like that. I remember just sitting back, looking at them and going, what are they doing? Like, I'm reading this case study. It's just a person reading it. And they're getting right into it, right in depth with everything. I'm going, oh my God. Like, I'm well out of my depth here. Anyway, when I had an interview with them, and apparently I interviewed really, really well. But at the end of that, I said, look, we don't have a job for you right now. You're not qualified for starters. Come back to us when you are qualified and we'll see what we can do there. But currently, you're not successful today. So I'm like, okay. And actually, a guy called Kevin got the job that day. Went off, got qualified, came back and actually came into the gym and actually spoke to the manager and said, I'm qualified now. I would like to come and work here. Oh, well, sorry, we don't actually have any space at the moment and we don't have a position for you right now. I was like, oh, right, okay. Can you let me know? He's like, yeah, we'll let you know. Go home. I haven't got a job. I haven't got an income. What the hell am I going to do now? So, most normal people would then go, right, I'm going to look for other places to go and work at. But for some reason in my head, I just had in my head that I'm going to go and work at David Lloyd, and that is what I'm going to do. I don't know if my life would have been different or better if I didn't do that. But I actually just went, emailed in, and I emailed Ian directly, and I said, look, I qualify as a personal trainer. I had it in my goal, in my sights, to come and work for David Lloyd and deliver the best possible service ever for David Lloyd. Can I work for you for free for a week, just to gain some experience, understand the ropes, do stuff like that, be in the area just to understand how it all works? And if you don't like me, tell me to leave with some great feedback. But if you do, it'd be a real pleasure to work here. He goes, yeah, we'll let you work here for free. And after 3 days, he actually said, we want to give you a position here. I was cleaning, I was speaking to members, great team player, speaking to all the members of staff, really getting engaged. And it was like bonfire night and stuff like that. I was, you know, really getting into the whole thing. I was there every day, every time, working for free. And they actually offered me a position. And it wasn't actually until a later manager down the line said, I didn't realize, you know, you were so go-getting until I actually read those emails. So he'd been through all the emails and he said, oh, I'll have a look through these. And he goes, I didn't realize that's how you got a job here. But I just forced my way in there. That's just what I did because I knew that's what I had to do. And when I started there as a personal trainer, you know, everyone's focused on how many sessions you deliver in a week. It's like, well, you know, I'm doing 17, I'm doing 18. Oh, Neil's doing 25 sessions a week. He's the best one here. And these are all nice people. There's no, you know, no nasty people there. Everyone's a great team. There's some camaraderie and competition, but you know, 25 was the creme de la creme of like, that's what you've got to get to. That's an elite trainer level. And everyone started on basic and you got paid an hourly rate for your sessions. And David Lloyd would take a percentage of that session price. And the more you did, the more you got paid. So the incentive was to go up. And actually what happened is as you went through a 6 month period, you started on 40 hours of gym shifts. You got paid a minimum wage anyway, which was quite secure. And then it dropped down every month until you had nothing, zero gym hours. And you should be earning your money through personal training. So I was like, right, I can do that. I can do this. So I started off as a level two, actually, for a couple of 2 month period doing 40 hours, really letting me get to grip with the ropes of how a gym works. Training, getting used to training, seeing what other trainers did. And because all the trainers were in there, I actually went round and spoke to all of them and took a little bit of everyone. So for example, Adam was a guy who works there, still a friend of mine now, really laid back guy. The way he trained people was completely different to everyone else. He was very quiet, very insular. He wasn't loud or going around speaking to people or things like that. But he had his little cohort of clients and he did really, really well. So I spoke to him, found out what he did, how he did things. Spoke to James, another good friend of mine, James Parker. He's very chatty. A lot of his sessions were very engaging. He was still focused on getting good sessions and doing things. And he had his exact way of doing things. Rick, you know, was very meticulous about technique and mobility and flexibility. And he had his specific niche of clients to who he dealt with and the way he did things. So he was very much compound stuff, you know, in early days, very dead against isolation. That was just his thing. There's no right or wrong. And then there was Neil. Neil was like 25 sessions a week, best one ever. And he was more focused on having a laugh, just chatting to people and doing high intense sessions that people could complete but were challenged with. Then there was Rob. Actually, Rob was a bodybuilder, really good guy. And he was very much like, and you know, every little how you twist a cable fly and squeeze your chest tight, you know, he's very much pinpointing every little thing. And he was very meticulous about diet. So I took a little bit off everybody, just took the best bits of everyone and just amalgamated that into what I do today as just what everyone did at that time. And I actually pushed forward, started generating new clients all the time. And it was a learning curve every day. I was selling 3-pack sessions at a discounted rate, trying to then keep those clients for a long period of time. And I started selling direct debit payments. 10 packs, these sort of things, and you're talking like 350 quid, £400 for 10 sessions. And, you know, considering I had no money at the time, I was living literally on, you know, the balls of my feet. Asking someone for 400 quid when you've got nothing is a real hard task to do. You think, God, I wouldn't pay this. But I just did it because I had to, just had to ask. And just because I was in David Lloyd, where general consensus is that all these people have got loads of money, it doesn't mean they're going to give you that money. They want to see value in what you do. They want to enjoy the session. Doesn't matter how much they have in terms of disposable. They need to see that it's actually worth the money. And, you know, I learned that from a very early day. And actually, I started increasing my sessions through basic, intermediate, which is about 15 sessions a week, then 20, then 25, 30, 35. And as I was increasing, everyone was like, what is happening? And so, you know, 25 was sort of left in the dust at this point. I'm not blowing my trumpet. I just had to do it. I had to earn a decent income to support a family. And I was working there literally 12 to 15 hours every day, 7 days a week. And I started getting up to 45, 47 sessions per week. And that was great. I was earning good money, you know, better than what I was. David Lloyd still take 50% of everything. You know, I was probably coming out with like £2,500 every month, but they were taking like £2,500 every month. And it was brilliant. I was like, this is fantastic. And then I started whittling down the amount of hours that I was working, because, you know, working 7 days a week is, you know, ball breaking. It is stressful. By a Thursday, I was talking with a lisp because I was tired. I was going to bed at 10 o'clock, waking up at 6 o'clock, just knackered all the time. So I had to make a change. Actually, one change that was made, because I was talking about those 40 hours coming down. I actually got up to 40 sessions a week before the 40 hours came down. So I was on about 15, 20 hours at this point, I think. And I was doing shifts, and I was like sat in the clubroom cafe area having a coffee when I was on shift. And Ian, the boss, was like, what are you doing? You're meant to be on shift. I'm so sorry. I'm just absolutely knackered. And he pulled me in for a meeting. He goes, look, Aaron, you need to get rid of your hours. Just, you don't need them. Just, let's just stop them now. I said, no, but that's definite money in. He goes, you don't need them. And it was him who actually said to me, you know, 15 hours here is only a couple of extra clients you need, but you're getting 15 hours back of your day. Let's just get rid of them. And he actually said to me, look, you're not doing these anymore, because if you carry on like this, I'm going to have to fire you because you're not doing your job on your shift. So, all right, okay. So he just took the 15 hours off me. And honestly, it was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I was like, oh, I have to come in for this Thursday early morning shift, open the club up, clean the gym, do any of that sort of stuff. And it was amazing to do that. And suddenly I had 15 hours free to do what I wanted with. And I started getting more clients and started filling that up again. And so then I was working every day God sends. And I just said, right, I'm not working any more weekends. Saturday, Sunday, I'm not doing it anymore. So Monday to Friday, so any clients I had, I moved them over to a weekday. And if they couldn't stick to me there, which they all did, I would have just given them to other trainers. But they all came across, so I moved them all across. And then I had back-to-back days, 6 a.m. Or 6:30 a.m. all the way till 10 p.m. Monday to Friday. And then that started getting to me as well. That started tiring me out. And during this time, I was obviously having a lot of troubles at home as well, because I've got now a partner at home who hates the fact that I'm out of work all day. But then when you are at home, hates the fact you're at home as well. So I was like, this isn't right. So after a 2-year period, I actually split up with my partner at the time, which was the mother of my daughter. And it was really, really hard. I had to get somewhere new. I had to pay rent on two properties because I felt really guilty for leaving them both. So I had to pay rent in that property. And then I had to deal with a court case because of that property as well, because she wouldn't leave it and I couldn't carry on paying for it, you know, and it was just really, really stressful times. Moving all my stuff out at short notice, trying to see my daughter, going to court for that as well. It was honestly, even to this day, it's quite stressful dealing with a separated family and doing all that sort of stuff. But then I had to make changes because I couldn't carry on that way. I couldn't carry on working like that. So I actually said to myself, look, I'm going to have Fridays off. I'm not going to work a Friday anymore. I have an extended weekend. So I started moving people from Friday into the week, doing more group sessions, and doing all that sort of stuff. So moved them across. There was one person, a guy called Nick, who couldn't carry across with me. So I gave him to a girl we worked with, and he started training with her. And I was still delivering 45 sessions a week within 4 days. So, you know, I was quite chuffed with myself. I didn't mind working 4 days a week and then having an extra long weekend. It was fantastic. And then I started looking at other ways because David Lloyd, I loved working there. I really enjoyed it, really enjoyed all my friendship groups there and everything. But as you look at it and you are successful, they take 50% of your salary. And it's great if you're just starting out, but it's not great if if you're losing 50% of your revenue every month. You're like, well, I want to earn more just so I can improve on my life, pay my mortgage off, have a nice car, go on nice holidays. And I can't do that if they're taking 50% of my salary every month. I've hit this ceiling. I can't even help any more people. You know, I'm doing small group training with four people in a group. And they were a bit against that because I was ahead of the curve. They didn't like the fact that I was training four people in 1 hour and getting paid four times as much, even though they were still getting 50%. They didn't like that. No matter how many times I explained it to them, they were still getting paid. It didn't make a difference. So I had to make changes. So I actually started doing an online personal training service as well called Virtual Trainer. Which was a great learning curve. Like I thought I was great at signing people up and getting people on board and paying large sums of money. But actually, when you get someone on a telephone call, if I set up a website, set up all this sort of stuff, set up a program, you know, it was 50, I think it was £15 a month when I think back. No one signed up. You know, the first month, why the fuck is everyone? Why has no one signed up to this? It went for a good 3 months before I actually didn't get anything at all. Like I had a couple of my old clients who'd moved away for work. They signed up, but you're still making like £25-30 a month. And it's not worth it for the work that was going into it. I had a Excel spreadsheet that I'd sent backwards and forwards all the time. And it was just, you know, which you worked out your hourly salary for, it wasn't worth the time. But I committed to that point. So I just carried on. On Facebook, you get targeted for marketing from business mentors and things like that. And I'd seen one and I'd seen a lot of free stuff from this guy. And he did a £500 weekend in Bath. So I went down, met a few of the trainers as well. And it was all about selling high ticket and, you know, doing it online and things like that. So went along, did 3 days there. Learned a lot about, you know, sales, marketing, all those sort of things. And the day I got back, I actually sold my first package for £1,000 over the phone. So selling personal training over a phone is hard, hard work. Because it's easy when you get to see someone face to face, you get to build rapport, they get to trust you a lot more, you get to see a lot more about them, so therefore be able to help them and detail how you're going to help them a lot more. Over the phone, it's really, really difficult to do so, especially when they've never seen you before, never met you, don't know who you are, and then you're asking for their card details. You know, in this day and age when there's fraud left, right, and center, it's very, very difficult to get that point of sale there and then. And it just came from Instagram, from nowhere, bang, on the phone, sold £1,000. Oh my God, like, what is this? Like, this is dreams, this is how it works. Didn't work like that, by the way. So I started getting a few more people, started generating bigger sales, better things, and started getting great results, which was the main thing. So then I started saying, well, I don't have to work as many hours face-to-face now. I can still be at home with my new girlfriend and, you know, enjoy time, go on holiday and still help people online instead. And it became a huge like epiphany for me, right? Well, I can help people and do no work pretty much, you know. I don't have to stand there counting reps for people, even though I love spending time with people. And I started really doing well at that. I also started selling Herbalife on David Lloyd's behalf. They asked me to do that. And I was doing well with that as well. But as time went on, a lot of people started hating or, you know, disapproving of what I was doing. So Herbalife, for example, if you don't know, across the whole of the fitness industry, it's not really, you know, grasped in. I'm not for or against things like that. I feel if it's been sold in the UK, it can't be bad for you. Unfortunately, it's just how it's delivered sometimes isn't exactly great. You know, from people who don't have a clue what they're doing, it can come across quite badly. And there's a few cancer issues that people were trying to solve with Herbalife, which didn't really sit right with me. So I just stopped at that point. But there's a place for meal replacements. And, you know, it's if people want to do them, it's not wrong. It's not right either, but it's just whatever suits them. I'll get into all that sort of stuff. So I stopped doing that because David Lloyd weren't happy that I was making money off that and they weren't getting paid for that. So I stopped doing that. And then they found out I never kept it secret that I was doing online training. So I sat in the cafe doing sales calls and selling these packages and getting people on board. And then they started going, well, Aaron's not delivering the 45 sessions he used to deliver. So I started doing less. So I didn't have to be in the gym as much. And people come and go, you know, personal training, they'll stay with you for, I've got clients I've had for 10 years now. But there's some that may come for 6 months and then go, you know, it's just the way of the world. But when they started going, I didn't really feel the need to try and fill the spot again. So, cause I had online clients and then David Lloyd obviously weren't getting their percentage. They weren't getting their 50%. Now Aaron's only doing 20 sessions a week. Why is he only doing that? You know, has he got bills to pay, things like that? And then managers are going, well, he's doing this. He sat in the club room selling that and they weren't happy. And I actually broke an exclusivity contract where you only should work for David Lloyd. You shouldn't do anything else outside of that. And they were going down the line of, well, you know, you're conflicting, you know, you may sign members up onto your online program, therefore cutting the middleman out, David Lloyd, and they're not getting paid and that's fraud, blah, blah. That wasn't the case at all, actually. People were leaving and signing up with me from, you know, all over Glasgow, Ireland. I had clients in China, San Francisco, Australia. No one within David Lloyd worked with me online or did anything like that because that's defeated the object, really. So they weren't happy about that. And unfortunately, backwards and forwards, you know, videos on YouTube, if I put an exercise video on, that was against it. I was back in on a disciplinary and I was like, look, by the end of it, I was like, look, do you want me to work here or not? Like, oh, no, we want you to work here. They were trying to just pull me in line and just make me become the person I was before. But unfortunately, I'd excelled. I'd pushed on a bit further and I had a different vision for what I actually wanted at that point. I said, look, we just want you to stay, but we want you to do it like this. And I said, I don't want to do it like that. I've got a different vision. So I just gave them my notice there and then. Just gave him it. And he was like, oh, I didn't expect that. I said, well, I think you did because I feel like you wanted me out. No, we didn't. Well, it's done now. I'm just going to go. And so I quit. And then I moved literally, it's not even half a mile up the road to the gym group, which is, you know, still a commercial gym. But you pay rent in this place and it's £500 a month rent compared to the £2,500 a month I was paying before. So I pay £500 a month rent and it's just down the road. Oh, well, I'll go and work there. So I spoke to them. They let me in, started straight away, just pushed my way in like I did with David Lloyd. I said, I've got 25 clients I'm going to bring across. Is that okay? Yeah, that's great. Brilliant. Bring them all in. They were happy. I was happy. And I've been there ever since, self-employed. And now after, God, how long have I been there now? Maybe 2 years. I've grown a business. I have staff within there as well who work with me, who help me deliver group training sessions where we have 8 people on a group. I rebranded and we call ourselves the Confidence Coach now. Virtual Trainer is still an online platform, but the Confidence Coach is what we are now. And, you know, absolutely love it. And that, you know, I'm still working in the business, but I'm also working on the business now. So I've come through this journey of zero up to a nice stable income, which is the first level. And it's like, right, well, what's next? What do I want next? really, frankly, I could have stayed like that and been comfortable and being happy, not stressed about it. Well, there's always going to be stresses, but not really that bad. Instead, I just pushed it up a notch, wanted to do better, wanted something. I like progression. I just like challenging myself and improving. And now I've got goals for this business and making sure it's even bigger and better. And during that time, at the end of my Dave Lloyd career, I also released Zero to Fit Pro. And that was a goal of help. It was more of a passion project than it was a business. I wanted to help people qualify as personal trainers and actually teach them how to grow and become a successful trainer to their level. It wasn't about, you know, like, let's get loads of people through this qualification. That's what happened to me. I got qualified with 30 other people, and really, I'd say only 95%, well, 5%, sorry, only have done something with it. You know, I can count on my one hand the amount of people who've actually done something decent with it. The rest of them, I've never heard or seen of them again. I'm friends with them all on Facebook, but they don't do any PT business sort of stuff. And I didn't want that to happen. You're spending a lot of money, nearly £4,000, and you're not getting anything at all. No, because frankly, I mean, no disrespect to people when I say this, that a lot of people who teach qualifications haven't really been on in the barrels, in the guttering of making sure you get this PT business off the floor. They've been a PT trainer. They've realized, actually, I'm not making enough money here. I want to teach people because it's set salary. It's like 15 grand a year, whatever. I'll just do that. And they move across and go and do that instead. And then maybe have side hustle for both. Make a few grand here, make a few grand there. I'm happy now. And it's not the best way to do it. So what I actually did was open up Zero to Fit Pro with a guy called Doug, who's a really great teacher. He's taught in loads of different colleges, loads of different providers. And I took over the side of teaching people how to grow a personal training business, how to do it properly. Or just from my own experiences, basically, from zero up to, you know, £4,000 or £5,000, you know, whatever you want in that sort of area there, that's what we sort of help people do. And it's been fantastic. We don't charge above and beyond prices because it's not about that. It's about seeing people become successful. We also don't take on huge amounts of people all at once because we want to deliver a great service. And it's exactly the same for a PT business. You know, you want to help people. If you charge, you know, high ticket, I believe, like take the piss high ticket, then, you know, it's not serving the as many people as possible. Yeah, there's pros and cons. We should, you know, some people charge too little and some people charge too much, and no one's right or wrong. You know, there's arguments for and against it. But ultimately, you should be focused on actually serving people and actually helping them get the very, very best. And I feel here at Zero to Fit Pro, and also with the confidence coach, the personal training business, we're constantly striving to do more, make things more affordable, make things more accessible, make things more adaptable, so they're able to overcome any obstacle that stands in their way. If you're not happy with the job you're in, but you can't afford £4,000 for a qualification, then we have solutions for things like that, because we don't charge £4,000 for a qualification. We're a lot cheaper than that. So, you know, this is what we do now. I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's been a rocky road. It's been stressful. There's been times where I thought, what's the point? I could just get a job in Tesco or do something like that, and life will be easier. But the rewards that come for working for yourself, they far outweigh working for someone else. And I guess it's down to you as a personality type. You know, do you like having a boss? Because I don't actually like having a boss. I think I've got a real problem with authority a lot of the time. I like to work for myself, and I like to make sure that when I do it my way, I'm held responsible myself to doing it. But also, you've got no one to fall back on. You know, there's no one there when it does go peak tong and it is stressful and there is no income. What do you do then? Who do you turn to? There's no one who can help you. You've got to help yourself. And it becomes a real roller coaster. Yeah. But if you've got a great support group, if you've got someone to turn to, who's been there before, then we can help you. It's definitely not a problem. I mean, all our trainers who qualify through us are still with us to this day within our lifetime group, just being there, learning, listening, finding ways to help themselves and get up to their goals or whatever their goals are. And I absolutely love it. So all our clients are doing well. They're engaging well with online training and all with our group training, and all our students, you know, absolutely love all their ability now to actually have a job they enjoy doing without working all the hours. The amount of people who've come onto calls with us who said, I'm a teacher, I work 40 odd hours a week and I earn next to no money, but I really love fitness. I've always wanted to be a personal trainer. Well, to earn the same money, you've only got to do 6 hours a week personal training. You know, I'd rather do 6 hours a week. And the fitness industry is huge and it's growing. And especially, you know, currently we're in lockdown for COVID-19, coronavirus. You know, everyone's taken a huge thought about their health and their fitness right now. And everyone's trying to do so much more. And when we come out of this whole thing, people are going to be in a position where they're like, I need to sort this out. And they can't do it by themselves. A lot of people can't do it. People need accountability and help. And that is when we as trainers are there to help, and we have to be able to offer something. So if you're thinking about becoming a personal trainer, now is the time to act. You sat at home, nothing else to do, qualify online, boom, let's go. I mean, we do all our qualifications online, but there are practical assessments that have to be done. And with our current students who are on now, we're going to do that post-lockdown. As soon as those gyms open, we're taking little cohorts of people through and doing their practical assessments to get them qualified and get them in the industry straight away with some guaranteed placements that we have. So, you know, now is the time to become a trainer. It's been a rocky road, but I wouldn't have the house I have, be able to pay my mortgage, be able to go on the holidays that I do, have the car that I have without this as a job. If I was working in a standard 9-5, I'd be going mental. And I just hate my life. I know I would. I really would hate it. And I'd be looking for something else. But right now I've got something which has no ceiling, and it's just constant drive to progress. Yeah, it goes like this, you know, and it goes up like that, hopefully. But like weight loss with clients, you know, the weight doesn't come straight down. It goes up, it comes down, it comes up, it goes down. But over time it trends downwards. And that is, you know, for weight loss is fantastic. For business, it trends upwards. There's low points, there's high points, but it always trends upwards if we're trying. So hope you enjoyed today's podcast. That was my first one. It's just a little story about my life and where I've come and been. But hopefully in the future, we'll get a few of the people on board, chat about different topics as well. If there's anything you want covering, please just comment on this video or email us directly at info@02fitpro.com, or just go to our website, 02fitpro.com, apply there, and you can see all our information. You can chat to us on there as well. Bye bye now.